Well, good morning, church family, and I hope that everybody can hear me. If not, I'm sure Lauren will text me and I'll get it right here. But it is really good to be here, though it's not face-to-face what I long for, but it's certainly good that the Lord has been gracious to give us technology to be together. But it is a good morning, and it's been yet another interesting week of phone calls, Zoom meetings, emails, but no face-to-face. I'm here to tell you that us extroverts, well, we're struggling right now, so you should check on us every now and then. But I do have to say, it's been a big joy of mine connecting with you all in various ways, listening, laughing, praying together. So I'm very, very thankful for those moments and the times that we have had together. As we begin this morning, let me remind you to please make use of our website. That is where you can get regular updates, you can listen to sermons, and you can also give online from our website. Now, I posted a video on Facebook and also our webpage to kind of walk you through how to follow those things and where to find that information. So maybe check that out because it gives step-by-step instructions, and maybe that could help you in the long run. If you are having trouble finding all of our updates, certainly reach out to me, call me, text me, and I'll help you get connected. And one thing that I wanted to really encourage, if you've not tried one of our Zoom meetings yet, let me strongly encourage you to try the next one that we will do. I'm going to put out early each week through our news blog about the various meetings we'll have throughout the week. If you've not done that, I'm going to encourage you to do that. If you want to give it a test run this week, just simply let me know, and I'd be happy to get you up and running. You would be surprised how good it is to see everyone and how encouraging it is to participate in those online gatherings. So I encourage you to try that out this week. But what about today? Sundays are so different now. So how can we, you, myself, my family, get the most out of Sunday? Well, after this live video, we have been encouraging everybody to participate in family worship. Now, it's really simple. Read God's Word, pray together, and sing together. I suggest the scripture we'll look at this morning is a great one to reread, to talk through it, and perhaps to see what the Lord is teaching you through that. Then pray together about the things that you learn from that text, the things you learn from each other, and then sing together. Yes, I said sing together. Now, we have provided resources for each of those elements over at our news blog, so certainly go check that out, the one I posted yesterday. One last detail before we pray and unpack our text for today. Please continue to give. Now, many of you do that online. We're very grateful for that. But if you give in person, you can drop that in the mail from your home. That'll get to us eventually. Or if you feel like getting out, it's up to you. You can come to the church building by our double doors out front. To the left of there is a mailbox. You can drop that in that mailbox if you want. Several of you have been doing that throughout the week, and we'll collect that as well. Whatever you feel most comfortable with, just want you to encourage you to do that. Well, let's pray as we begin this morning. Father God, we come eager, we come longing to hear from you. Lord, we come with lots of love and affection for you. If there is one thing that occurs in seasons like now, is that the things that are shaky, the things that we should not build our life on, become so evident, and come to find out, you rise to the surface, and you still are our firm and rock solid foundation. And I am praying, and I trust that even with our time together this morning, that you would increase our love for you, that our adoration, our thankfulness, our gratefulness for all that you are in our life would be so evident in these uncertain days. So, Father, would you grow us? Would you encourage us? We believe this morning that you are Lord. We believe that you are in control. We believe that you know what is best for us and you know how to make us well. So would you do that work this morning at the reading of your word, at the unpacking of the truths of your scripture? Might we see it so plainly this morning that you are in control and that is good for us. Father, we pray for the many brothers and sisters across the valley that are sitting in their homes right now when they would rather be with their church family. We pray for them. We pray for faithful churches still letting your word drive their time together, still letting your word encourage them and drive them and give them direction in these times. So would you be with those brothers and sisters today as you are with us? Now, Father, we ask that you would speak. Help us to love your wisdom more than our own wisdom. Help the truths that we uncover this morning to be more glorious than our own opinions, more glorious than our stuff, more glorious than our health. Might your wisdom encourage us this morning. And Father, might our love grow this morning. It is in your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. As we begin to look at our text this morning, I know I don't need to remind you that we have been in 1 Corinthians for a while now. You're like, yeah, I know that. But I do want to remind you that this little letter was written to a body of believers in Corinth. Now, maybe that sounds odd to remind you about, because you're like, of course, we get that. But our text today often gets overlooked in its specific context. 1 Corinthians 13 is probably the most famous chapter of this entire book. I venture to say, if you've been to at least one wedding in your life, you've heard this text read. Now, rightly so, it offers a lot in regards to what love does and what love does not do. So it is fitting for a marriage. But its first and most significant context is the local gathering. The love expressed here in chapter 13 of Corinthians is to be found within the local gathering. To make it more plain, this love is to be found at Light in the Desert Church. It is to be on display in our life together. I just don't want us to lose its meaning for the local gathering. It is radical to think that we should exhibit these things that we'll see in 1 Corinthians towards each other. Now, if you're like me, it's hard enough to do this with one or two people. So to see it on display in a diverse group is, well, it's otherworldly. It's almost as if something else is going on in that place where love like this is on display. Well, let's read 1 Corinthians 13 together this morning. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfection comes, when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Paul starts in the first three verses of showing us how love is a more excellent way. He expresses how love is a better way for the church. I mean, he did leave us with a cliffhanger in chapter 12. He says this, and I will show you a still more excellent way. Well, what is that excellent way? It's simple, really. It's exercising love in all things. Though there are a million actions, a million service opportunities, a million ministry moments within the church, ultimately, give yourself to love. Let all be motivated. Let all be saturated and done in love. When we are together, let it be out of a sense of love for one another. When you exercise care for one another, let it be out of love. When you serve one another, let it be from a place of love. Now, Paul here specifically deals with their difficulties, which is an overinflated emphasis on the gifts themselves, more than why they exist, chapter 12, and now how they should be done in love. Paul takes each one in order. If I speak in tongues. Now, we're going to give a much more formal definition of tongue next week, because chapter 14 dives into the particulars of tongues and prophecy. So, see what I'm doing here? Come back next week, and we'll unpack that a little bit further, specifically what it means. But here, today, in chapter 13, the definition is a little irrelevant here, because specifically the issue is these gifts. God's grace given to them for the benefit of each other. The issue is that they are not exercised out of love. The problem is the same for all of them, but have not love. Exercising tongues without love is like a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. There is no edification within the body. It's just a bunch of noise, an edification of self, as we're going to see so much clearly in the next chapter. Next comes prophecy, knowledge, and faith. All great things ruined because they are not exercised with love. Oh yes, brothers and sisters, these things are to be on display. And these things have been on display in the entire book. They, the Corinthian church, they had great understanding, but their deepest wrong is they had not love. Back in chapter 8, their knowledge that they had without love was actually destroying the church. What's love got to do with it? Everything. Without it, God's good gift to us and the church turns into a weapon rather than edification, rather than the benefit of one another. The text says that prophecy, knowledge, and a big faith without love makes you nothing. Lastly, Paul addresses the giving of all the possessions and the ultimate sacrifice of one's self. Once again, all good things and things that should categorize the local gathering, but yet they can be done in such a way that you gain nothing. That way is doing them without love. but rather to be praised, noticed, etc., etc., etc. The return for that sacrifice is nothing in the end. It is amazing to me to think that our giftedness is useless when love is void. Our service, ministry, or any activity that chapter 12 calls it, void of love, is useless. We render God's grace to us and these good gifts useless when love is void. Sobering indeed. Next, after Paul establishes the better way of love, now the text moves towards the characteristics of love, what it is and what it is not, what it does and what it does not do. There are 14 things discussed about love in this section, verses 4 through 7. The first two is what love is. Love is patient and love is kind. Patience hitting at the core of our interactions with each other. Kindness kind of moving us out towards our treatment of each other. If we seriously kept those two things, what a people we would be for each other. I mean, those things alone are worthy of an entire message. But there are 8 more descriptions that are put into the negative, highlighting the things they, the Corinthians, are actually being when they should not be. Each one of those easily corresponds with issues already taken up in this letter. Sure signs that they have not understood, nor are they bearing witness to the result of the gospel upon a people. Once the gospel takes root in a people, it changes them. Slowly but surely, the person and work of Jesus most certainly will change us, even in the most unlikely place like Corinth, that we learned when we began this series. The gospel has taken root, and it should change them, and most evidently, it should change their love. We move, they should move. Followers of Christ, once the gospel takes root, we move from envy, from boastfulness, from arrogance, from rudeness, from self-interest, from being easily angered. We are not a vengeful people. We don't rejoice at evil, but we celebrate loudly the truth. All of these things destroy a people. You don't have to be a social scientist to understand that envious people will eventually destroy each other. The local gathering is a place where these negatives, these old ways of interacting with each other, they go to die at the foot of the cross. It, the local gathering, light in the desert church, is a place defined, or should be defined, by humbleness, other-centeredness, forgiveness, forbearance, and on and on and on. So much of the problems in Corinth stem from those negative things. The boastful posturing of one's knowledge over the weaker brother or sister. The arrogant, puffed-up wisdom of man. The rude interactions within the church about marriages. The self-seeking that has guided their pursuits. And since it's guided their pursuits, it's made them forget about each other. Brothers and sisters and those watching, we are to be a loving people, defined by God's definition of love and modeled and lived by God's Son, Jesus. I don't know about you, but sometimes lists are helpful, aren't they? Perhaps this afternoon you could take this list and you could consider your life. Now, I'm not pretending that that's an easy task, but perhaps we could look at those things and consider our life. Perhaps we could take a look at those things and remember how we long to be a part of a people who look like that and who do not look or who are not defined by envy, boastfulness, arrogance, rudeness, self-seeking, easily angered, an unforgiving people. That is not who we want to be. The interesting thing about love is that it can only be understood and lived in relationship to each other. You know, in our life together, we see the good, the bad, and the ugly as we spend time together. You see, it is God's good design that within the context of the local gathering, that we get a chance to see our lack of love. But we also get a chance to learn how to love. This list of eight that is put into the negative is capped off with a positive. It says that love rejoices at the truth. Well, brothers and sisters, and those who are watching who stumbled upon our live feed, we're so glad to have you. The truth is, we desperately need the person and work of Jesus to live this way. Truth in verse 6 is contrasted with wrongdoing. And we've seen wrongdoing quite frequently in the church in Corinth. They have let sin go unchecked. They have taken each other to court for silly and insignificant issues. So the contrast of wrongdoing and truth is emphasizing a commitment to God's way, a commitment to God's wisdom, which in chapter 1, God's wisdom is seen in Jesus and particularly in the cross. It's labeled foolishness to the world, but yet it is God's wisdom. When the cross grips us and changes us, it creates in us true love for one another. A love that the scriptures here in 1 Corinthians go on to say bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Or we could more adequately say that it bears, believes, hopes, and endures always. It's been suggested by one commentator that we could say love never tires of support. Love never loses faith. Love never exhausts hope. Love never gives up. Well, this is fitting in how Paul has been building his argument and exposing that love has no limit to what it can accomplish. Well, this also guards against the notion that love just simply believes all things. We know that's not the intended point here. Love is not blind belief, but always believes ultimately in God and never loses faith. Love truly is the better way because it can bear with one another like nothing else can. It can support one another. It's more than just simply putting up with each other. But love moves us further down the road to where we willingly bear with one another and come underneath one another to support one another. Love truly is the better way. Love is the better way because it believes and hopes always in the Lord, trusting His sovereign care. Love is better because it can weather the storm. You hear me, brothers and sisters? Love can weather the storm. It endures. It never gives up. If there ever were four descriptions that we need now more than ever, it is bear, believe, hope, and endure. Love is what brings those things. Love for God and love for each other is how we experience those things. We weather this virus through a love that bears with and supports each other, that believes in God always and hopes in Him always, and will endure all that comes our way as the months come and go. Hope does love, or perhaps I should say it this way, how does love do that? Well, the next section makes it clear, verses 8 through 13, is because it never ends. It never collapses. It does not give up. It is a good system. Love draws our attention towards God. It draws us to cling to Him, and He never ends. He never fails. He never collapses. There in Corinth, all the gifts that are getting all the attention, well, they will eventually pass away. Though Paul only uses those specific ones we looked at, the implication is that all these good gifts given to the church for the benefit of each other, they will indeed serve their purpose, but they give way to something better, the coming of perfection. The coming of Christ will indeed come, and our love will be affirmed, and our love will be enjoyed in fullness. Those gifts and our understanding are limited. But when He comes, our partial knowledge will pass. Our partial understanding will pass. Love will grow and be realized in fullness. We will continue to exercise love for our Father, who is everlasting. Brothers and sisters, we need to function out of that reality. Just like a child grows to maturity, and a mirror only gives us part of the story, unlike face to face. When He comes, all is well. Brothers and sisters, when He comes, all is well. Oh, I wish we could be in that room looking at each other, rejoicing in that truth. When He comes, all is well, and love will remain. We still will be giving it to Him, and we get to enjoy it in fullness. Not that hope or faith cease. After all, they are definitions of love. We will continue to show faith and trust in Him as we worship Him with complete understanding and unhindered trust. All of our hopes are before us. All of our hopes are realized, and they are filling up our love, because hope is visible when He comes. In fullness, our love will be enjoyed. Oh, love is the better way. Brothers and sisters, love will not cease, but increase. So let us practice it well here and now. Do you understand? Love will not cease, but it will increase. Let us practice it well here and now. What does love look like for us in these days of uncertainty? Love means staying home to keep those vulnerable safe. We are not self-seeking, we are others-centered. Love means when the dust settles and many cannot return to work, we give. and we give and we give and we give more to help feed, clothe, and support one another. Love means if this pandemic draws on for months, drags on month after month after month, love means that we organize our life around each other, scheduling perhaps even our errands around helping our older members and those who need help. Love means when we can return face to face in worship, in our gatherings, we are not the same. But that when we can come back face to face, that we are more concerned with others than ourselves. That when we come back face to face, that love would compel us to willingly sit with one another in any of these seats here, uninterrupted, looking at the other eye to eye while we listen to one another. That when this ends and we are back together, that we will continue to spend lots of time in prayer in sincerity. That when we say, I'm praying for you, that we actually mean it. That we would give of ourselves for one another in prayer for one another. Let that not change when this season is done. Love would compel us to bring others before the Lord frequently and often. Love means giving of ourselves for the benefit of others, not in self-interest, not in seeking attention. Love means slowing your own advancement, so that you can see others grow in advancement of their understanding of Christ. Love compels us to think of others before ourselves. Love never tires of supporting each other. Love never loses faith in our glorious and sovereign God. Love never exhausts hope. Love never gives up. Perhaps this morning, we must leave with this reality. All our troubles will give way to a better reality when perfection comes. Perhaps I should say that again. All our troubles will give way to a better reality when perfection comes. That is good news for us this morning. It fuels our hope. It strengthens our faith. This morning, if you're with us on this stream, I thank God that you're with us. I ask that you consider the love we discussed. If you've never experienced a church family like that before, would you visit us when the dust settles? If you're hurting and have so many questions, and by God's grace, there are a million live feeds right now running through your Facebook, and somehow you stumbled to ours, I ask you, consider the person and work of Christ. You see, the truth that we rejoice in here at Light in the Desert Church is the truth that the person and work of Jesus makes us well. That in faith and repentance, He can be ours. His death, burial, and resurrection becomes ours, and we are made well with God. And as we are made well with God through the person and work of Jesus, that we are in Him in such a way that we enjoy this type of love. Though we miss the mark quite often, we enjoy through the person and work of Jesus this type of love. That's the truth we rejoice in. That's the truth that will settle your heart this morning. That's the truth we hang our lives on. Would you consider Jesus? Would you consider the person and work of Jesus this morning? please don't hesitate to reach out, email, text, put into that live feed right now. There are plenty of brothers and sisters who would love to pray for you. Please do that. If you're part of a church family somewhere, if you're a part of Light in the Desert Church, would you please spend some time reading this text together with your families, asking the places where you could work on, and rejoicing at the places that you get to experience with one another, those specific things. Would you spend time praying for the implications of what we talked about this morning? Would you spend time rejoicing in the truths that you can share with each other this morning? And then would you sing the songs we have provided in our newsfeed on Facebook and also our blog post? It would be a healthy time together for you to spend that with each other. It would be wise for us and with those who you know really well, asking which of these characteristics of love that you are most like, and be willing to say, which of these do you most struggle with? That is how we can get the most out of today. Brothers and sisters, those watching, I miss you. And I miss you a ton. But I trust that God is doing a greater work in you that I can't even imagine. And I trust that His presence is sustaining you. Would you pray with me? Father God, this morning, in some small way, I hope that Your Word has encouraged us. I hope Your Word has strengthened us, and it's sharpened us, and it has convicted us if need be this morning. Father, that You have taken the truths of the realities that we enjoy with one another, and You've strengthened us, that we would work hard this week of extending that love to one another. Help us to be creative and thoughtful in how we interact with each other this week. Father, for someone perhaps who is watching who doesn't know You, may their hearts be stirred with the ideal and the thought and the truth that You have loved us this way in the person and work of Jesus. Might they come to know Him this morning. Father, what an incredible opportunity for us as Your people to actually get to these things and live out these things consistently, daily. Help us, Father, as we lean on Jesus more. Sustain us, strengthen us as we long to be back together. Father, it is in Your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, keep your ears and eyes open to Facebook and our news blog. We'll make some announcements tomorrow about the upcoming weeks as we think about how we'll approach the next two Sundays, and particularly Easter as well. Grace and peace, and enjoy your afternoon.